We would like to acknowledge that the land which we are gathered on today is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe Nation, specifically the Chippewa Tri-Council, comprised of the Chippewas of Beausoleil, Rama, and Georgina Island First Nations, and more recently, the Mississaugas of the Credit River First Nation. Ontario is covered by 46 treaties and other agreements and is home to many Indigenous nations from across Turtle Island, including the Inuit and the Métis. These treaties and other agreements, including the One Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, are agreements to peaceably share and care for the land and its resources. Other Indigenous nations, Europeans, and newcomers were invited into this covenant in the spirit of respect, peace, and friendship. Most of us have come here as settlers, immigrants, or newcomers in this generation or generations past. We are all treaty people. Every day, we are mindful of broken covenants, and we strive to make this right. We commit to collaborating based on the foundational assumption that Indigenous peoples have their power, strength, and competency to develop culturally specific strategies for their communities. We are dedicated to honoring Indigenous self-determination, history, and culture, and are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect with all First Nation, Métis, and Inuit people.
Hello, everyone. My name is Laura Bates, and I am your host today. I am one of the education facilitators at the North Simcoe Muskoka Hospice Palliative Care Network. Welcome to our podcast today, Beyond the Stethoscope, a podcast focused on hospice palliative care. Today, we are doing something a little bit different. Today, our usual host, Linda Meeks, is in the hot seat as my guest. Linda has an extensive experience in both formal and informal leadership positions in healthcare. Hello, Linda. How does it feel to be on the other side of the table today?
Hello, Laura. This is definitely different, let me tell you.
Well, welcome.
I will do my best.
Welcome. So the topic you've chosen for the podcast today is leadership and palliative care. Why did you choose this topic?
I chose this topic because I'm not only passionate about palliative care nursing, but also about leadership and all the realms of leadership and that what that can provide, both for nursing, healthcare professionals, and for outcomes for patients and families. So basically, I can sum it up. I'd like to read a poem, Laura, that basically says exactly why I chose this topic. And it's by the prophet Khalil Gibran. When you work, you are a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music. Which of you would be a reed, dumb and silent, when all else sings together in unison? Always you have been told that work is a curse and a labor of misfortune. But I say to you that when you work, you fulfill a part of Earth's furthest dream, assigned to you when the dream was born. And in keeping yourself with labor, you are in truth loving life. And to love life's labor is to be intimate with life's innermost secret.
Wow, that's really deep. Thank you. So Linda, what article have you chosen to review with us today?
So the article that I've chosen to review is an article that was published in the Journal of Palliative Care. It's entitled Leadership in Palliative Care. It was published on August 16th, 2018, volume 34, issue 1. The authors are Constance DeLynn, Dr. Patrick Coyne, Dr. Lee Vaughn, and Jamie Goldberg. It was a multidisciplinary team that did this research article on leadership in palliative care.
Interesting. Can you tell me why the authors decided to highlight and research the importance of interdisciplinary leadership and the development of leadership skills?
Sure. So in the beginning of the abstract, they state that palliative care is one of the newer health specialties and continues to mature. While there has been remarkable progression of clinical skills and education, there has been a lack of focus on palliative care, interdisciplinary leadership, or development of leadership skills. And I'm sure that you would agree, Laura, because you and I have worked in palliative care for many years, and I'm sure that you would agree with this statement. The article highlights the importance of interdisciplinary palliative leadership within the five realms of clinical practice, research, education, policy advocacy, and administration. definition of leadership is offered, and there is a discussion of successful leadership skills. And they also did put a quote into the first part of their article, and this is what it says. This is by Maureen Bisognano. She's from the Institute for Healthcare Improvement in the United States. And I might also mention that this article is from the United States. When you marry the leadership skills and the clinical background, you have an opportunity to lead in a very distinct and different way. When you get someone who knows what quality looks like and pair that with curiosity about new ways to think about leading, you end up with people who are able to produce dramatic innovations in the field. They go on to say that palliative care is about providing quality care and embedding it across healthcare. As with other specialties, palliative care must consider the triple aim of lowering costs, improving the health of populations through better outcomes, and enhancing the patient care experience. For those who are listening, Triple Aim is a tool that they use. It did originate heavily in the United States and is coming more closely into Canada. And it's a measurement tool that management uses for basically those three principles that I've just mentioned. And with palliative care continuing to establish itself, interdisciplinary leadership is essential to ensure innovation. And we need new models of care delivery, new clinical approaches, and innovation for mainstreaming palliative care. And while many people consider leadership to focus on the program leader, there is, as we know, a much wider aspect of leadership. Palliative leadership includes leadership in palliative care clinical practice to promote excellent and evidence-based practice, leadership and research to grow and mature the evidence, leadership and policy and advocacy to guide changes in healthcare delivery and access, and leadership in education to assure palliative care skill development for all healthcare professionals as they enter into practice. Leadership in palliative care spans across all disciplines, roles, and titles, and it's important to distinguish between leader development, which is the development of competencies for a particular person, versus leadership development, which is a building of collective capacity. So this article discusses leadership development in respect to the nature of palliative care and its model of collaborative interdisciplinary delivery. It is the presence of collaborative interdisciplinary leadership that will promote the field and contribute to successful transformation in healthcare.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned a definition. Can you tell us what the definitions of leadership are that are contained in the article?
Sure. So in the article, they've also taken some definitions from some famous leaders that have, made quotes and are quite expert in their field. So the definitions that they used, the first one is articulated by Sullivan and Decker, that states leadership involves influencing the attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, and feelings of others. Leadership in palliative care is about influencing many constituencies from patients, families, healthcare colleagues, healthcare systems, insurers, because obviously this is the states, and communities about palliative care and its effect on quality and effective use of resources. In addition, palliative care leadership is demonstrating how palliative care is part of quality healthcare. The second definition, developed by Kruse, states that leadership is a process of social influence that maximizes the efforts of others towards achieving a goal. This definition speaks to the aspects of leaders within a team working toward quality care and access. Both definitions embody interdisciplinary palliative leadership, which then sparks culture change and infuses the healthcare system with a focus of quality of life and relief of emotional, physical, spiritual, and psychological suffering for patients with serious illness.
Linda, I was wondering if you would be able to talk about leadership versus management. Are they the same thing? Are they different?
So the article does discuss the difference. And often people confuse leadership and with management. So basically, the article sees this as two different things, and I'm sure that you would agree, as well as I agree. In 2005, Drucker stated, management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. While leaders create a mission and vision, managers focus on the process and production of implementation of that mission and vision. Specifically, leadership is about vision and management is about implementation. In palliative care, there are many program leaders whose work focuses on leading and managing a program. However, interdisciplinary leaders are needed to move the field forward beyond program development. So basically, we could do all the planning that we want, Laura, but unless we have our colleagues to help carry it through, then we only have a plan.
Yes, and I think there is a movement towards having the same person do both types of tasks.
Exactly. So they did list, leader versus manager. So a leader focuses on people. So they look outward. They articulate a vision. They create a future. They empower our colleagues. We want them to trust and develop. We create changes. We serve others, use influence and conflict, basically, to act decisively.
Yes.
Manager, in the sense of the word of a manager, looks inward. They focus on things. They execute plans, improve the present. They control, direct, and coordinate. They manage change, and they use authority to make others act responsibly. So we can see that obviously there's a little bit of a difference between a so-called leader and a manager.
Interesting. Now, one of the topics discussed in the article is palliative care leadership development. Can you convey to us the author's thoughts on this topic?
Yes. So again, because the article is American, they talk about the American Hospital Association in 2011 asked its regional policy boards, governing councils, and committees to identify essential leadership knowledge. And I do know that in Ontario, there has been also a process in the past few years after a report was finished that basically is doing the same thing, looking at the competencies of one that works in palliative care, especially in the front line. So the list included leadership training, systems theory analysis, use of information technology, multidisciplinary teams, including respecting and understanding the skills of other disciplines, as well as population health, palliative care, resource management, health policy, and communication skills. And although only physicians were assessed, these educational aspects for leadership are universal for any specialty, including palliative care, from any discipline. And moreover, there are more concrete skills rather than essential principles or characteristics. They go on to say that palliative care leadership includes leadership skills as well as characteristics, personal mastery or continual growth. They include clarity of palliative care models, shared vision of palliative care team education in many aspects of palliative care, and an overall concept of palliative care within the context of healthcare. Most leadership programs occur internally within organizations, and contrary to popular belief, there is a paucity of specific palliative care leadership development programs for the clinical interdisciplinary team. So you and I would probably say, Laura, that if we went looking for, what was available, there is certainly a difference between looking for courses in to broaden your clinical skills versus what does that look like more in the form of a leadership role?
Oh, for sure. It's continuous learning in healthcare, especially in nursing, is one of the things that we all are doing. And I think that if somebody wanted to learn a new skill or a new area of nursing, it's very easy to go and take a course on that. But it's much more difficult to fall into a quality course on how to improve your leadership skills.
Right. And then how do you marry these two together. So for example, when our team, nurse consultants and education facilitators, do education, often I've heard the comment after the course is over, okay, you've taught us these fantastic skills and tools, but now the difficulty is, how do I go back to my workplace and actually convince someone that these are necessary and to get them in place?
Exactly. How do we get somebody else to buy into the vision?
Right. Because the leaders or management team in the organization may not specifically be the expert of the program as far as clinical skills go. They may be an so-called expert in leadership, but possibly not in our specialty.
Exactly. Why is palliative care leadership within a team so important?
Well, palliative care leadership is within a team is very important because a core principle of leadership is about shared responsibility, and that relates to the interdisciplinary team. So there's a mismatch of leadership skills among disciplines. So historically, one would have said or considered that our palliative care physicians were the leaders of our team. But as we know, with growth and improvements across settings and all disciplines, and the more education and training that the interdisciplinary team takes, that obviously it is not always the palliative care physicians who are the leaders. All interdisciplinary team members have the capacity to be either a formal or informal leader.
I agree. You mentioned a principle of leadership. What are the five principles of leadership that are reviewed in the article?
One of the first principles of leadership is that the palliative leader must model leadership to the team. Within a palliative care team, leadership is the empowering of all members to transform the care of patients with serious and life-limiting illness. Therefore, being a successful leader on a palliative care team means facilitating the leadership of other team members. Leadership within a palliative care team includes appreciation, affiliation, autonomy, status, and having a defined role, fairness, recognition, honesty, and consistency. Whether a designated leader or recognized leader, palliative leaders must earn the respect of their team members. This is accomplished by trust, time, expertise, and focus in areas of palliative care ranging from clinical care, administration, finance, policy, research, and education. Specifically, leadership must occur by direct involvement and action in creating quality programs. A second cross-cutting leadership principle is that palliative care leaders create a shared vision of excellence in strategically implemented palliative care. This is achieved through engagement of the whole team and constant feedback, as well as alignment with the shared mission and vision. A third cross-cutting leadership principle is that palliative care leader seeks to reject the status quo by promoting palliative care in all arenas through experimentation of new ideas and novel processes, therefore taking risks. The positive risk in palliative care is delivery for new patient populations and movement into new community partnerships with providers, insurers, and social services. The fourth cross-cutting principle is that palliative care leader fosters the sense of team through collaboration. To ensure quality work, the leader empowers palliative care team members to exercise decision-making so that they may excel. This should be in all aspects of palliative care, whether it be direct patient care, education, policy, and research. Moreover, this occurs while simultaneously providing constant mentoring for all team members. The fifth cross-cutting principle is that the palliative care leader celebrates team successes and victories, which may be both defined by the team and the culture of the organization. Praise and recognition, as well as equitable access to leadership opportunities, are also important for all team members. So those were the five principles, Laura.
Interesting. What is team culture? What are its features? That's not something that I'm familiar with.
So every team, whether it be informal in your household or whether it be informal in your workplace, in your healthcare organization, or as a formal position, has a team culture. So palliative care teams have affinity through a shared vision of compassion, commitment to relief of suffering, and all overall improvement in healthcare delivery. Teams work best when a culture of team is established. At the core of healthy teams is appreciation, respecting the views and values of other team members, regardless of team composition or titles. So therefore, understanding that everyone has the capacity to be a leader. Appreciation is respecting the views and values of other team members regarding this role or title. And for palliative care, if this is not in place, then obviously there is a risk of the program faltering. The concept of team is predicated on the belief that the provision of comprehensive care is best delivered as a team. And as you know, Laura, that's what our team promotes when we do our education.
Yes.
In addition, the richness of the team is the diversity of the people, perspectives, and disciplines. So when you have team culture, it's important that this is discussed because obviously every person is different, has a different background, has training. So the more you can collaborate and bring everyone's point of view, then obviously the better the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
There are informal leaders and formal leaders, and in this way, there may be palliative team members without titles, but who have garnered the respect of the others, their colleagues through the longevity of their career, their style. They may have a nurturing style or open mentoring process. Although a designated leader may be guiding the team, informal leaders within the team assist in team culture, team practice, and teamwork. And as you know, if the team is not a well-functioning team, then neither is the leader.
Exactly.
So there may be long-standing members of the team who have helped grow a program that are significant resources. In addition, there may be different team informal leaders for each area of a program, which could include education, research, clinical care, policy, or administration. A second feature of team culture is affiliation. Teams are strongest when there is respect or collegiality among the members, even if views and roles differ. Affiliation is collegiality, even if views, practice, or roles differ. Again, it is the interdisciplinary nature of palliative care that makes it unique. Palliative providers and team members cannot be experts in all disciplines and will have individual practice style. Thus is the art and science of palliative care. Creating affiliation within the team requires investment, skill, and patience in the science of palliative care while respecting the art of palliative care by discipline and individual styles. If affiliation is fostered by leaders and individuals on the team itself will flourish. A third feature of team culture is autonomy, which is achieved by encouraging team independence and trusting that team members want to do the right thing. Autonomy is the ability, as well as empowerment and permission, to make decisions. Palliative care is by nature a stressful specialty, requiring members to make difficult decisions about patient care, necessitate members to coordinate care among referrers, and manage an internal system for education. With a focus on shared creation and implementation of palliative care policies and procedures, team members can be empowered in difficult clinical situations. In addition, team members need to have some control over their work and practice, be it how they organize their day, how they take their breaks, how they set up their work assignments, how they go to visit their patients, clients, etc. Empowering team members with authority and the ability to make decisions and having them respected leads to more effective problem solving and improved morale. So I have two more features to go with you here, Laura.
Okay.
So the fourth feature of team culture is creating equality within the team and between all team members. This fosters team effort where all members are treated equally. As previously stated, an underlying tenet of palliative care is a belief that palliative care is best delivered as a team. Leaders promote the essential philosophy that all members equally contribute to care delivery. This empowers all members to invest in leadership, accountability, and responsibility. System issues can make this tricky, as there may be perceived power differences due to title, care responsibility, and/or difference in salary and benefits. However, acknowledging and naming these challenges and leadership support for enacting change can help to move away from the ingrained hierarchy. So examples of this is having all team members address each other by their first name. Obviously, for us, this is common sense. I'm not sure that I've been in an organization lately where we say Mr., Mrs., so on. So we've come a long way in that regard. So other examples may include facilitating administration time for all members to enhance themselves professionally. So that means everyone having a turn to work on a project or something that the team needs, and having equality through all benefits, actually. Mm-hmm. So you and I have worked together previously before this role, and maybe you just want to mention a little project that you worked on, Laura, about exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up, Linda, because it actually just came to mind. Linda and I previously worked on a quality improvement project at a residential hospice. And it's true, everybody who's on a team working towards a common vision, whether it's a, you know, a project or a policy or centered around a patient and their family, if the team members don't feel like they're equal and have an equal amount of say and an equal amount of, what's the word, of contribution to the project, then it doesn't go nearly as well as it could if there's that equality and that equal starting point for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've worked before, what the letters are after your name. Everybody has an equal and important role and contribution to palliative care.
Exactly. So there's a fifth feature mentioned in the role is, or sorry, in the article is role delineation. And while some cross-discipline skills are encouraged within palliative care, having a defined role can assist people in doing their work and promote delineation of boundaries, scope of the role, as well as the role of other team members. Clarity may be achieved by spending time together as a team to evaluate team roles and function. And this includes reviewing clinical functions, task roles, and responsibilities, and noticing the greater overlap that is unique to transdisciplinary palliative care teams. And the sixth feature is one of my values. So when you do leadership training, I'm not sure if you did this in your course, Laura, is you have to really know yourself, learn to know yourself before you try and lead others. So one of my top values was fairness. And it's interesting that the sixth feature is fairness. Nothing more quickly undermines a team than when there is unfairness and disparity in the actual work of palliative care. Workload on palliative care teams is different depending on the team and setting. In academic settings, physicians often work a set number of clinical days and have protected academic time, while other clinicians may only do clinical work. If there is a disparity, that can lead to feelings of inequity and burnout. And in addition, there may be different workload expectations. Therefore, the palliative care leader must assure transparency in scheduling, offering opportunities for non-clinical work as well as clinical work, as well as assuring that all team members receive recognition and equitable access to leadership opportunities. The seventh feature is honesty, which can only be achieved with transparency. Transparency in palliative care, team design, decision-making, and personnel is fundamental. Often within teams, there are written and unwritten agendas. This is evidenced by palliative care orientation processes. Many programs have no formal onboarding or orientation process, and rather new members just follow other members that have been there for a long time and just figure it out. Other times there may be a written procedure with no bearing on the actual process. It's antiquated, it's out of date. For there to be authenticity, it is essential that the palliative care leader work with teams to assure consistency of mission, vision, work processes, and values that guide all aspects of their work. So this is accomplished with dedicated time and team meetings to discuss team process and maybe retreat days. And this is where I have to put a plug in for our organization. We have weekly team meetings with the entire team. We discuss everything on Wednesday mornings, usually for an hour and a half. And one has a consistent say in the processes, the programs, and how things are going to turn out. I'm sure you would agree, Laura, that
yes, I would.
This organization does a really good job. And at the end, I will mention some other things about our organization and the wonderful leadership that we have. So finally, consistency of care and process are features that should be negotiated. And when there's consistency, then the team honors the norms and changes are negotiated. So basically what I've just mentioned.
Yep. I really like that portion of the article, Linda, and I find it interesting the crossover between leadership in general and leadership in healthcare, and how those specific features are not necessarily unique to healthcare, but sometimes have different considerations depending on the setting that you're in.
Right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that at the end of our discussion, Laura, about what's important if you're in healthcare leadership or if you're a member of the team considering going into a more formal leadership
Great.
Role.
Are you able to provide us with a conclusion from the article?
Sure. So in conclusion, the authors state that although leadership training and education are necessary within palliative care and across disciplines, understanding important leadership concepts and characteristics is essential. Effective palliative leadership will promote a focus on quality, patient-centered care, and change policy. Because there is rapid growth in palliative care across populations, settings, and geography, interdisciplinary leadership is essential. Successful palliative leadership requires the development of vital leadership skills to bring about policy change and advance the field of palliative care. Palliative care leadership is necessary now more than ever to both lead and drive change in healthcare policy and promote consistent quality palliative care within the field.
Awesome. Let's talk about some of those resources and things that you found in your research for people who are interested in leadership and or nursing management programs. Is there anything that somebody should look for specifically when investigating these types of things?
Sure. So first, obviously, you can Google what type of leadership program that you would like. So let's take, for example, nursing leadership courses. You would type into Google nursing management courses, nursing leadership courses, and you get a plethora of results. So basically, then you say, okay, well, what am I looking at here? And there's a few things that you should consider as you're starting to look for your program or your course. Basically, what is your goal? What is the outcome of a course that you would like to take? Do you want to stay in clinical practice and just learn more about informal leadership and how to change processes and implement tools in your organization? Or do you want to consider becoming a master's prepared nurse, a PhD nurse in leadership? Or do you actually want to go into a formal leadership role, such as a manager or a director in an organization? So you would begin to look at first, what is it that you're wanting to achieve? Look at the course overview of the program, and is that going to give it to you? What are the learning outcomes of the program? And once you're done that, does that give you the career opportunities that you're looking for in the direction that you're wanting to go? And does this course give you an advantage if you actually take it? Because when you're going for a job interview for a certain role, you definitely want to make sure that you have the advantage.
Mm-hmm. So it really is about looking and figuring out where you ultimately want to be career-wise or skill-wise, and then working your way backwards.
Exactly. So that may change as you go, or as someone goes through their career. But I think that in career planning, and obviously if you love your work, hence the poem at the beginning of the podcast, and you know yourself well, then you can choose wisely so that you will be happy with your work. And so, and let's face it, Laura, one of the other considerations is what kind of team would you like to maybe possibly formally lead? And what are the perks and the benefits of actually doing this type of role besides the fact that it's good heart work?
Before we finish up today, can you share some words of advice that you may have for colleagues or other people in healthcare who wish to improve their leadership skills?
Sure. So in the podcast, you mentioned, I forget your exact words, but is healthcare leadership different from other leadership?
Yeah.
So in my own personal opinion is in some ways, yes, because most people go into healthcare, whether it be a formal leadership role or an informal leadership role, because they are a nurturing, caregiving person. So in that respect, I would say that nurturing healthcare professionals who caregive in a palliative care setting specifically require a heart-centered leader. Because otherwise, what are you doing this for? Would you agree?
I agree. I think that at all levels of the team or organization, that heart and passion has to be there in order for it to be more effective than it could be without it.
Right. So this is where I want to mention about the leadership, our board of directors, our executive director, and our clinical manager, because I can 100% say that this is the type of organization that we work for. It is a very heart-centered organization, both in the processes, the work that we do, as well as the leadership of the team. And I believe it was last year, the organization was designated with Compassionate Caring Award. So, and that is one thing in my advice, Laura, that I would give healthcare professionals. If you are looking to spend your time working with your heart, then go find that heart-centered organization. Because if you don't, you won't be happy.
I agree. And from someone who has worked in a variety of settings under a variety of managers and leaders, having a good leader on your team or running your team is invaluable. And being inspired by that person every day it's so fulfilling, and it makes your work not a job. It makes it your passion.
Right. So I have a few more things to say, but I want to pick up on that word that you use, the inspiration. So leaders toss around the word inspiration. A lot of them use the word motivation. I am highly going towards in the direction of the inspiring leader, because you can motivate people. Okay, we'll give you more money. We'll give you an extra week of holiday, which is very nice and appreciated. However, if I am not inspired every day for a heart-centered organization, then I'm going in a different direction.
Agreed. And motivation isn't always necessarily a positive thing either.
Right. So some people say, oh, there's a shortage of nurses. Everyone says that. And for one of the leaders in the faculty that I used to be a colleague with would turn around and say, no, there's just a shortage of people that want to work for you. That's very mind-blowing when you sit down and think about it.
It's unfortunate that certain settings or certain types of organizations do end up that way because that leadership is not there and that inspiration in such a difficult field such as hospice palliative care. Well, thank you very much, Linda.
I just had a little bit to add there, Laura. I just wanted to put in that everyone, whether they're an informal or formal leader, should have a leadership philosophy. And within that philosophy, you should always be authentic and unwavering. So as you know, I was a member of the Secretan Center, which is led by Dr. Lance Secretan. He is noted as one of the world's most influential leadership coaches, speaker, and so on. And I just wanted to go over the philosophy that he goes by, and I think is very fitting for anyone that is in palliative care. So I'll just go over that, Laura, and then we'll conclude our podcast. So he goes by what he has labeled the CASTLE principles. So CASTLE. And when you adopt these principles, then you're unwavering in those principles. And the first one is courage. And nothing happens until we become brave enough to reach outside our existing paradigms. When we are gripped by fear, we become ineffective and our performance is diminished at work and at home. It all starts with courage. The second is authenticity, the A. Showing up and being present in all aspects of life, removing the mask and becoming a real, vulnerable, and intimate human being, a person who is genuine and emotionally and is spiritually connected to others. So being unwavering in that. The S is a desire to serve. Departing from an old story, self-focused, fear-based mode, and instead focusing on the needs of others by listening to them, identifying their needs, and meeting them, and thus inspiring them. The T is a passion for and commitment to the truth, the refusal to compromise integrity or to deny universal truths. Even though in these testing times, avoiding the truth might, on the face of it, seem easier. L is for the capacity to love. The source of a very good leader is the ability to inspire others and the spiritual and psychological antidote to fear, stress, and anger, which, when freely given, results in people who are effective in all aspects of life. So that is the principles that he goes by, that the center goes by, and I would say would be very successful philosophy for others who are trying to be a leader in palliative care.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Linda, for reviewing this article and discussing leadership in healthcare with us today.
Thank you, Laura.